Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome once again to the house of God. And welcome you, all of you right now, on our 2 p.m. service on the first Sunday of the month. As we always do every month at 2 p.m., we have just a one-hour service, a special, special service. And we usually have someone new that you're not accustomed to seeing, or someone who gets to share once upon a time the Word of God. We all remain sharp, we remain steadfast, we remain firm in the Lord, and we give an opportunity for the saints of the Lord to share what's in the heart of God. So I ask right now that we would all prepare our hearts and open up our minds to understand what the Spirit of God is about to say right now for His church. Amen?
Amen.
And I would like to give a very warm welcome to our dear sister who is an anointed pastor. We call her sister here because she's part of the fold, but she is an ordained pastor. But most importantly, we admire the anointing of God over her life. That goes a whole lot further than just the title. Please give a very warm welcome to our dear sister, Francine. Amen. Sister Francine. Amen. Woman of God.
Bless the name of Jesus. Yes. We praise the name of Jesus. We give Him all the glory today. We give Him all the honor today. We give Him all the praise because He's worthy. Not just because we want to praise Him or we feel like saying hallelujah, but because He's worthy. We serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a great big God, and He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We welcome you in this place, Father. We welcome you in our midst, mighty God. We welcome you, mighty God, in our lives today, Father. We pray you have your way, Lord. Have your way this day, Father. Let this day be a day to remember of your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, of your power, your might. Oh, mighty God, show up in the life of your people today, God. Oh, Father, let them not leave the same way they came. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we look to you, Father, and no other. We serve you and no other God, because you are the only one true and living God that we know. You are the only one true and living God that we serve. Oh, God, I bless the Lord at all times, and His praises will continue to be in my mouth. For me and my house, we praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Rabbi Samamaya Sheko, Rabbi God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in our midst today. I thank you for what you're doing, mighty God, what you have already done since this morning, God, what you're about to do right now, and what you're about to do tonight, God. Have your way. Take full control. Lead us, God. We follow after you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hide me behind your cross, Father. That your people, God, don't see me, but they see the Christ in me. Hey, Abasaya Mamaya Shekora by God. Hey, Jesus, Robosa Mamaya Shekor. Hey, Abasa. Jesus, reign in this place, Father. Reign even now and forevermore. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be glorified through your servant. Hey, Jesus, wash me. Cleanse me, Lord. Sanctify me. Make me worthy to stand in your presence. Call upon your name as we look to you for your touch today, for a special anointing, for your grace, for your mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's amazing how the Spirit of God works. I came this morning, and our beloved Pastor Teddy Santos preached, and I was saying, Lord, you're so good. Because the message that he bring forth is just in line with what Pastor Marshall just come up here and encourage us all to pray, to seek the face of God. The message that the Lord gave me is to pray, to seek his face. So I'm just inviting you all to turn your Bibles to 2 Kings 20, and we're going to read from 1 to verse 7. And thank you, Pastor Santos, for this opportunity to bring forward the word of God and to be used by God. Bless you to Pastor Marsha, in the mighty name of Jesus. And thank you for your many prayers. Glory to God. 2 Kings 20, verse 1 to 7. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And today's title is Prayer Changes Things. I don't know if you really know, but I just want to say it again to encourage us all. Prayer changes things. And when you believe that prayer changes things, it makes a whole lot of difference in our lives. Prayer changes things. My theme today is give God a reason to resuscitate you. Give God a reason to resuscitate you. Glory be to God. We all need a fresh anointing, a fresh dose of God's blessing every now and then to revive us, to revitalize us, to re-energize us, and to restore us back to his purpose and his will. In 2 Kings 20, verse 1 to 7, it reads, In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Hey, Jesus. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thee days. I will unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of King Azariah, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of fig. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Blessed be the reading of your word, O God. Bless the Lord. You know, first I just want to say, don't wait until something go wrong in your life to seek the Lord, to pray to God, to intercede for yourself. If anything is going on in your life, good or bad, don't know who or what to pray about. No, if anything is going on good or bad in your life, Seek the Lord. Pray. If you don't know how what to pray about or who to pray about, just look around you and you will see something out there to pray for and to pray about. Learn how to pray to God, to go in submission and go in supplication and cry out to God. Hezekiah was literally begging the Lord to heal him, begging the Lord for mercy. You know, even today in this generation, if we get a bad news that a relative is sick, it hit us so hard. It hit us so hard, moreover, to hear that you shall die and not live. You know, Hezekiah didn't argue with the Lord when he heard. He didn't argue with Isaiah. He just humbled himself. He humbled himself and go privately, turned to the wall, and he prayed to God. He prayed and he seeked the face of God. And he asked for mercy. And God said to Isaiah, turn, go back, tell Hezekiah, I have heard his prayer, and I have seen his tears. That is not a little bit of whisper in a corner. That is not just a little bit of two words to God. That is something that coming from the heart. That's something that coming from the soul. A heart of repentance. A heart of submission. A heart that acknowledge that you are at fault. You know, you are at fault and God is going to kill you. You're going to die. God said you're going to die. But we all know that God is a faithful God. It's good to know that God is a faithful God. And God loves us. God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son, Christ Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And when that ain't enough, he himself have given us the opportunity to repent daily. Daily of our sins. Daily. Daily. Because even though we have seen, we have learned, we have understand how sinful our life is and that we have sinned every day and come short of his glory, we still continue sinning. Even though he has sent his only son to die on the cross for us, for our sin, so we can have repentance. We still sin every day. But God's love, his grace, and his mercy is so overwhelming. It is so abundant. It is so much. He gave us so much. So much. But at times, we've been ungrateful. So ungrateful. So ignorant. And so rebellious towards the will of God. But thank God for his grace. And thank God for his mercy. Thank God that no matter what we do, his love for us never change. You may hate the sin that we've been doing time and time again, but his love for us never change. So God wants us to go into a realm of prayer and supplication and unto him. God wants to have a personal relationship with us that will touch him in a way that even when he said, you shall surely die, your prayer, your supplication that you give unto him has touched him so much that he has to come back and said, okay, I'll heal you. I will deliver you. I've heard your cry. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I've seen your faith. I've seen your heart. I've seen your heart of humbleness, of humility. You know, we as this generation, we really lack humility. We don't know how to humble ourselves, not even one to another. We really don't know how to humble ourselves one to another. The least little thing we flare up, you know, it doesn't matter who says something, what they say, simple things, big things. Things have no consequence. We're just so heated. We're just so hot. We're just so ready. ready to explore. But we need to know, especially we Christians, we believers of God, we need to know how to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves in the mighty hands of God, and He will deliver us. He will see us through. Whatever situation we're going through, He will hear our cry. He will see our tears. Just come to Him radically. Come to Him seriously. Come to Him knowing what you're coming to Him about. Come to God. Whatever situation you're going, it doesn't matter how terrible this situation is. It doesn't matter how dangerous or how sad the news is. It doesn't matter how difficult life may seem. It doesn't matter how hard things may get. Come to God humbly, sincerely, boldly, radical. Come to Him in honesty and in truth. Talk to Him like you talking to yourself. You know, the best truth you can find is one you tell yourself. If you can't tell yourself the truth, then you are in big trouble. You know, you really have a problem. Because you can lie to this one, you can lie to that one. But if you can tell yourself the truth, you know, the truth makes a difference. The truth opens up doors. So when you find yourself falter or going in the wrong direction, at least God wants you to acknowledge what's going on. He wants you to acknowledge where you went wrong. You know, that was the thing with David. When David sinned, David always acknowledges sin and come humbly before God and pray and seek the face of God. He come with a repentive heart. He come and he repent unto God and beg God for mercy. And God always deliver him. God always deliver him. He always see him true. He always fight his battle. And that's the same thing God requires of us. That's the same type of humility God requires of us. Humbleness, a humble servant, a humble child of God. We have to come humble as a little baby. You know, they do something wrong, you slap them up 2 times, and they come back, mommy, daddy, cry, wee wee, do all sort of foolishness, but they're coming back, forget about it, and they come back again. You know, they may not say, I'm sorry or what, but they're still coming back loving you, showing you love. They come humbly. That's how God wants us to be, like a little child, like a little baby. Come humbly before Him. Seek His face. Go in prayer and supplication. You know, have a personal relationship with Him. Seek Him for yourself. Spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him with a sincere heart. And He will see you through. He will see you through. He will hear you. He will answer you. And He will see you through. Hezekiah did just that. David did just that. There are times Moses and all the great prophets, they did just that. And God showed up for them. God delivered them. God healed them. God make ways out of no way for them. God worked miracle for them. God show up in their life. Today we need God to show up in our life. We need God to show up in our midst today. We are seeking God day and night, week after week. We've been crying out to God. We come here at least every Saturday, come in prayer and supplication, crying out to God, not just for ourselves, but for others. Because sometimes when you're going through something, you can't even pray for yourself. And sometimes you really need to forget about what you're going through. Forget about yourself. And pray for somebody else. And God will deliver you. God will deliver you through that person. Through the heart that you have and the love that you have for that person. To pray for that person. God will bless you also. Even when they didn't ask for it. You know how many people God have healed that didn't know that they were sick. But they were praying for somebody else's sickness. And God delivered them from their sickness. God provide for them. God make ways for them. When they, you know, there's so many people that is so unselfish that they put their self aside and they been looking after everybody else. They've been crying out to God for everybody else and forget about themselves and just trust God that God will do it. God will do it. God knows all about it. God will see me through. I'm trusting and believing in God. That's the type of faith God wants in us. That's the type of faith God wants from us. That we don't let the little things of life hurt us so much, affect us so much, because that's the work of the devil. Sickness is the work of the devil. Sickness is not of God. And the devil put these things upon us to distract us from what God is doing in our life, to distract us from what plans God has for our life, to what distract us from what God is saying to us, so we can fret and worry and bawl and complain about this and about that and run up and down and trying to find all sort of a cure and medicine. And sometimes all we need to do is just go down in prayer. Go down in prayer to God. Go down in prayer. You know, I remember I had one of my cousins, you know, he was a older guy in his 50s, and he was living in Kingston. You know, I'm from Jamaica, and he was living in Kingston, the other parish from me, but he took sick. He was there, he was an architect, and he was there working, and, you know, Jamaica is filled with witchcraft. You know, I'm from there. I've been through it. My family has been through it. And when you have a child who have potential and ability and they see, you know, that they are doing well in school and they have a career or a job or they have a bright future, there's hope for them, they bewitch you. They try to bring you down for you don't come to nothing, for the young girls to get pregnant early, the young boys to become thieves and criminals and, you know, whatever. Bad. They just set these spirits upon you. You know, witchcraft is some real stuff. It's some powerful stuff. And a lot of people doesn't know that they're under witchcraft. A lot of people doesn't know, have an idea what it is. Because I'm telling you, my family and I was living in it, and we'd never know what we were going through. We were just struggling. We just think that we were just poor. You know, we were just struggling. And it all because my mother was a beautiful young lady. And they tried to mess her up big time. Mess up that she don't come to nothing good. Nothing good come out of her children. We're not supposed to live half of our days. All sort of stuff. But the hands of God was upon her life. And when the hands of God is upon your life, let me tell you something. The devil can try. He can try, but he can't win. He can't win. My mother was, you know, I always think that we were in sin and we were sinners, you know. We have a desire for God. We'd read our Bible. We'd pray. But my mother didn't go to a church. Not because she didn't want to. She just couldn't afford to. We couldn't afford the church clothes, you know, in Jamaica. And Sundays, you have these big hats and the big shoes and the stocking and church clothes. We couldn't afford that. My mother have 9 kids. I'm number 8. She couldn't afford that. She was a single mom. We just couldn't afford that. She had to make sure that we go to school, food on the table, a roof over our head. But everything additional, we have like one Sunday dress or one going out dress, one going out shoes, and that goes everywhere. We couldn't wear to church every Sunday. So we would normally go to night service. And we know churches in Jamaica, the windows are open up, the doors open up, and they have the big microphone on the outside, so the whole community here. So even if you're at home, you still hear the service. So we depend on that service. We live by the service from afar off. And then Sunday night, we'll go to the window, and if there's not a lot of people in church, we screech into the back, and we take the back row. Because we're not dressing properly. We're not uniform for church. But God was on our life, and God was doing something in our midst and in our hearts that we didn't even know. We just know that my mother, she smokes, but we still have to read the Bible. We still have to pray. We still have to say our grace before we eat our food. We got to pray before we leave for school. All of these things we have to do before we go. We have to just be in the presence of God, even though, and we think that we weren't Christians. We weren't child of God. We weren't saved. We were sinners and all of that. But we believe in God. The fear of the Lord was upon us and should use scriptures from the Bible to rebuke us, to teach us, to direct us. Least little thing we do, she have a scripture. She know the Bible. And God honors that. Now I can see that God honors that because all nine of us is still alive. And most of us is serving the Lord. From deacons to pastors to evangelists to high priests in whatever religion he is. But all of us know God. We know God. We have testimonies on top of testimonies about God. We've been serving God in our own ways. We may not all be from the same denomination, but we all acknowledge who God is and believing in him. And the fear of God is upon all of us. And we thank God for that every day. Amen. Every day. Every day. And I thank God that my mother is alive to see it all. I thank that God every day. But we didn't have what it takes to go to church like normal Christians go to church or go to Sunday school or whatever, but we take what we have. You know, we do what we could, and we see God work in our ways, and we see how the enemy fight us and try to really destroy us. That at one time, my mother thinks she was really going crazy. She was going crazy, and we still didn't know what happened to us. We didn't know what was going on. Doctor couldn't find what the complaint was, and it was keep going on and on and on. Until the Lord showed up in our lives and in our midst and deliver her. Deliver her. And as time go by out here praying, God, please take away the urge for smoking. And I'm telling you, one day she just get up and stop smoking. Say, no more. That's it. No more smoking. My big brother used to creep up behind her and just grab the cigarette out of her mouth and crush it up. And that would hurt her to the core. Because sometimes it's the last dollar she have to buy the one cigarette that she smoke half and leave another. Go back. And he just come and pick it out and crush it. I said, Mom, you got to stop smoking. It's not good for you. Blah, 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 blah. That was terrible, but still good. It was because I was sorry for her many times because she had the last dime and buy that cigarette. But, and that was her comfort. But you know, God was still in our midst. So sometimes when we see people, we just can't judge people. We just can't judge people. No matter how sinful lifestyle we see they're living, not even judge them, but condemn people. You know, we really not supposed to condemn people because they may in a situation that caused them to be living a certain way, but we don't know the cause. And what really in their heart, the relationship that they have with God. You know, as we see here, Ezekiah did have a relationship with God, although he was faltered in some way why God said he was sick, why he was sick unto death, and God said, you shall surely die and not live. But the relationship that Ezekiah have, and the purpose and the things that Ezekiah did, he said, Lord, remember. Remember all the things that I did for you. Remember. And it's good when you have something that you can say, God, remember, we have to do good. We just have to do good. He said, do good and good will follow you. Do good. Somewhere they had to do good. Do good. Sometime it will come back around to be a blessing to you. It will come back around. Just like you do evil, he will come back around to haunt you. Karma. Do good. Ezekiah did many good, and he prayed, and he said, God, remember. Remember how you use me. Remember this vessel. And God hear his prayer. God hear his prayer, and he seen his tear, and he answered him and said, I will heal you. And not just heal you, but I will heal you and deliver you and deliver this whole city for myself and for my son David. He remembers. Sometimes we got to remember God, who you are in God, you know, what you have done for God. Sometimes we got to remember, but first you got to know that you're doing something for God, and you know by that relationship that you have with him that God wants me to do this. It is a good thing to do good, you know. I got to do this good for this person. I see this person in need, I got to go and bless that one. I see this one in need, I got to go and bless. I got to go and help this one clean the house, got to help this one wash some dishes. I see that she's sick, you know, I need to take her something to eat. That one is hungry, the homeless. There's so many good that we can choose to do simple things. Nothing that you got to be a millionaire to do. Simple things you do, because he said, the least you did to one of my people, you did to me. So the least little thing you do, God will remember. God will remember because you're doing it from your heart, not to be seen, not to be known by man, but you're doing it because that's what God requires of us. That's what God requires of us. And that's what Ezekiah did. He'd been doing good all his life, and God remember him. He said, you shall surely die and not live. But his prayer of remembrance, his prayer for mercy, let God remember him and allow God to forgive him and restore him. Restore him. You know, as my theme said, give God a reason to resuscitate you. Resuscitate means restore. Breathe afresh. Revitalize, re-energize. That's what happened to Ezekiah. God resuscitated him. He was sick unto death. He bring him back to life. What are we doing for God that we deserve in our weakest time, in our sickness, in our illness, in our down, in our sad time? What are we doing for God that we can pray and cry and say, God, have mercy on me. Remember what I have done for you. Are we in that place? Are we really in that place where we have been taking care of God's servant, God's people, God's children? Are we really in that place where we have been helping one another as brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we praying for each other? Are we lending a helping hand? Are we giving to the poor? Are we taking care of the children out on the street begging for bread? Are we helping them? What are we doing? What are we doing in the house of God? What are we doing out there on the street? What are we doing in our homes that represent and edify God? Because there's going to come a time when we're going to want to say, God, remember. God, have mercy. God, save me. God, restore me. As I was saying, my cousin, he was sick unto, I think he was sick unto death. He couldn't stand. He was in Kingston and he took sick. He was working at a car wash and he lifted a drum of liquid soap out of a van and he pulled it off of the van and dropped it and he said it shakes his whole body. That is like all his joints and ligaments messed up. And he was in so much pain. Somebody carried him in a vehicle, dropped him off at my house. And he was there crying up and down till my neighbor, he couldn't walk to the gate. My neighbor see him hopping on, really crying. And he cut him a piece of stick for a cane to help him walk. And he said, I'm just going to stay here for 3 years, 3 days, Francine. I'm not going to go. I ain't going to be in a burden. Three days long pass, a week pass. He's still in the same pain and ache and everything. And I take him to the doctor and they give him painkiller and it couldn't help. I give him Tylenol, extra strength, all the pain medicine. It wasn't helping. No relief from his pain. And I was there in my business. I had a business at the front of my house. And I was there in my shop. And I was praying for him and praying for him and praying for him. I said, God, this got to stop. He can't live like this. This is, you know, it's hurting me so much for him. Because he's a cousin that I love. You know, he's my aunt's only son, my mother's only nephew. And I said, no, God, you got to do something. And I was there, and I go in the house, and I grab a bottle of consecrated olive oil, and I begin to anoint him in his head first, and I give him something to drink, and I say, listen, my man, are you ready to serve the Lord? Are you know that there is a God? Do you know Jesus? Do you want to serve Jesus? Are you ready to give your life to the Lord? Because you can't stay this way. You're sick unto death. I don't want you to die here. We ain't got no money to bury you. You know, you got to seek God for yourself. Are you ready to serve the Lord? And he said, yes, 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 whatever. I said, no, no, no. Are you ready to serve the Lord? Not no whatever. Like you're looking for a pass, a easy pass. Are you ready? I said, you know, are you ready to do something for the Lord? Are you ready to give your life to the Lord so the Lord can heal you? He said, yes, 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 pray for me. And I'm telling you, it's like the crying was so much. It just get to me that I said, no, no, no. I went to him like, it's like I was ignorant in the spirit. And I begin to anoint him from head to toe, his stomach, anoint him back straight to his feet and pray for him and pray for him. And I'm telling you, when I'm finished, water was just washing from me. And he get up and walking, no stick, no help to get up, no pain, no nothing. You're saying, thank you, friends. I said, no, don't thank me. All I did was pray. Don't thank me. All I did was pray. You said you're ready to serve the Lord. The Lord heal you. He deliver you. He restore you. Now serve him. And he went out and he tell everybody. They said, what happened to you? What happened to you, Michael? You're not sick no more. What happened? I just saw you with a stick walking in pain. He said, Francine prayed for me and God healed me. No, I just prayed and God heal you. I didn't heal you. God heal you. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer from a sincere heart. Prayer is powerful. The name of Jesus is powerful. It is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is powerful. It can break chains. Prayer is a weapon. It's a weapon and a tool that we have to use. We need to use it daily. Daily. Because we're under attack every day by the enemy. So we have to use prayer. First thing in the morning, before you even get out of bed, just start to pray. Start to pray. Start to give God thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping me through the night. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you, God. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for what you're about to do today. Just keep praying to God. Go in prayer. Prayer. Lay on your bed. Lay on the floor. Kneel down. Whatever you do, pray to God. Talk to him. Talk to him. He hears you. He sees your cry. He sees your pain. He hears you. And he wants to deliver you. He wants to resuscitate you. He wants to restore you. He wants to heal you. He wants to make ways out of no way for you. He wants to perform a miracle for you, sign and wonder. But we have to believe in him. We have to talk to him. We have to have that relationship with him. We have to bond with him like brothers and sisters, like parents. We got to bond with him. He's our father, our healer, our deliverer. We have to know who we are in Christ. We got to know who Christ is in our life. Talk to him. Seek him, and he will see you through. That's my word for you today. That's my word of encouragement for you today. God will hear you. He hears your cry. He sees your tear. He will deliver you. Prayer changes things. Do something for God that in your sick time, in your dark hour, he will remember you, and he will see you through. Amen. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Brother Peter, can you take this stand in front? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He never changed. He never will. Amen? Let us collect our offering this afternoon to the house of God and bless the Lord with our offerings and tithes if you haven't given yet. Please stretch your hands towards the offering. Lord, we thank you so much for you are our provider. You have blessed us, and we are returned to you what is yours with all our heart. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.